Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show as we start a new week. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory, a great service department and sales staff, and a service department number one that just is... We'll just get it done with whatever you need for your current car. And a sales staff that's not just there for the sale, they're there to make sure that you get the right car that you're looking for the future. And that's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And every Monday show, of course, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or go to purdyinsurance.com. Home, auto, life, business. Getting to that time of the year, even though Mother Nature likes to say otherwise right now, as it's snowing right now in our backyard. But boat, RV, when it eventually does become spring and summer, consistently, that would be nice. But they got you covered nonetheless. And that's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or go to purdyinsurance.com. Hope everybody had a great holiday weekend. And now we look forward to a fun week. We got guests galore as we count down to the Blue-White game Saturday at 2 at Beaver Stadium. You'll hear it right here on WKOK with Steve and Jack and Brian Tripp and Roger and everybody and the rest of the gang from Beaver Stadium. Looking forward to that. I'll be there too, so I'm looking forward to that as well. I'm going to get back and watching some football. This is a big weekend locally, in fact, because Bucknell's spring game is also this weekend, Sunday at noon. And there's lots to look forward to there and to look at when it comes to Bucknell football, too. But we'll be previewing Penn State every day this week. Today, we got Tom Hanifan, and then later we got Rich Garcella, too, from the Reading Eagle. And this it's just nice to be finally talking about football leading up to an actual on-field play. We don't know exactly what the exact format's going to be yet. Still working on to see what happens with the O-line. We've talked about it before. That's kind of the main concern right now heading into the game is the lack of offensive linemen on the roster currently because there's others that have transferred in that aren't there yet. So there's been some injuries too, of course, so we'll see what they plan. I hope they can play a full game, and I'll be curious to hear from Steve how the first scrimmage of the spring went on Friday, because the team was getting into Beaver Stadium to practice, which definitely will be a good sign for the young guys that are just getting in there to get used to the premises before you go in there for a game next week. And I'm not sure if they're going to have another time or two this week to get in back into Beaver Stadium. I'm sure Steve will talk about that once he steps up from the Sunbury Motors studio. But I'll be looking pretty much at the same things that you'll be looking at least just my initial read going into this week is the quarterbacks. Even though everything seems to be pretty much set at 1-2 with Clifford and Christian Veau, but how do the young guys look? And I also am very curious about how Christian Veau looks. We got one game of him last year in a regular season game, and he did pretty well, but I'm looking to see some growth out of him. Obviously, the offensive line, however it stands when it actually comes to blue-white game day. I want to see where that looks right now. at running back, Nick Singleton, of course. I want to see how good he's been looking. We've heard so many good things, of course. A lot of excitement about him coming in. This is a big week for him to see what he can do right off the bat. Defensively, they're going to have a lot of new faces in the secondary. Some new guys coming in that should make an impact right away on the defensive line. I mean, there's so many things to look at to get an initial read. Of course, this is not going to be the end-all, be-all because certain guys aren't there yet. But we start to finally get the blueprint of what we could see from Nittany Lions in the fall. So we're going to break it down all week. So Tom Hanifan and Rich Scarcella today. And we got a whole bunch of others coming up this week, too. And we'll see what Steve has to say for himself as well from any observations from Friday and what the schedule's like this week. And also, we've got a Sixers playoff run to finally talk about as well. The Sixers, I was pleasantly surprised with how they dominated Game 1 on Saturday. I got to be honest, I didn't expect that. As I mentioned with the guys on Friday with Stephen DeKing, I wasn't very confident coming into this series. I was thinking Raptors in 7. And of course, it's a long way to go. It's only Game 1. Game 2 tonight, of course, in Philly. But the way the Sixers played the other night was sort of similar to how the first 5 games went. And it seemed like, I guess, they had a lot of intense practices heading into the playoff game 1, and that maybe had seemed to help a little bit. But I'll tell one thing.
No, brother. Really?
I love me some Tyrese Maxey, and you got no Scotty Barnes tonight for Toronto. Gary Trent Jr. and Thad Young are looking very doubtful, so this is a chance for the Sixers to really lay the hammer down tonight and take a 2-0 lead. But it's Blue-White Week. Happy Blue-White Week.
Absolutely. There's a lot of people really excited about, what is it? Excited about what?
Well, a Blue-White game and the Sixers.
Sixers-Toronto? No, Sixers.
Yeah.
Label opportunity and chances here. Jeez. I mean, the opening round of the NBA playoff, for the most part, maybe Milwaukee and Chicago gave them all they could handle in the first one.
Yeah, that was a big surprise, too, for me. But good for them. Credit to them.
The Sixers were great in the opener. I mean, they weren't good. The Sixers were great in the opener. They really were. The Boston Nets game.
That was phenomenal.
But you know what's phenomenal about it? Let's break down the end of the game. Right? How coaching made a difference. The element of surprise made a difference in two different areas. So what's the element of surprise in two different areas? Let's see how closely you watched.
I actually only saw the last couple of minutes, so I'm probably not going to have the correct answer. But
I'm only talking about the last sequence, the last sequence of the game.
Okay. So you're asking,
like, what were the two surprising areas at the end of that game that swung it Boston's way? Let's just see how closely you watched.
Well, I think execution number one. I mean, to have that kind of a pass and then Tatum to know where he is on the floor, get it off before the clock expired. I mean, I thought that was well executed in the final seconds.
Yeah. Not a surprise, but okay. I mean, because you're talking about three guys that have played together a long time together. So them knowing that. But here are the two. Actually, there's going to be two key parts of this that go against. They come out of the timeout, out of the Nets timeout. Remember, it's the Nets timeout. So the Nets advance the ball up the floor, right?
Correct.
So what did the Celtics do defensively off the timeout? Something they hadn't done all day. Who do you expect to get the ball? There is no question who the hottest player on the floor is. It is Kyrie Irving. He has been the best player on the floor the entire game. So you expect him to get it. What did the Celtics do? The Celtics attack him with a double team with Al Horford, which completely baffled Brooklyn. So now you've got Marcus Smart, and now you've got Horford attacking in a double team, and Irving doesn't know what to do with it, so he goes into it. And then now they're in trouble on the shot clock, and he kicks it back out to Durant, and he just fires up a shot he has to fire up on a day where he's not good at all. And he misses it, and the Celtics get the rebound. Now that's one. That's great coaching by the Celtics to say, look, we've got to do this. We've got to blitz him on a double team, and I want the bigger guy, Horford, to do it on the blitz. That way it'll cut down the passing lane. That's one. And number two, the Celtics went against everything and did not. What didn't the Celtics do on the rebound? What didn't the Celtics do on the rebound?
I don't think they fouled.
No, they didn't call a timeout.
Oh, he just Celtics, let him play. Yeah.
The Celtics had a timeout. In the NBA, what do you always do?
Yeah, most cases you're calling a timeout, right.
Timeout and advance the ball. The Celtics got the rebound, trusted their people, and Brooklyn is expecting them to call timeout. And now they're all backpedaling, and now it becomes a fire drill, and guess what? Brooklyn's out of position. Remember how I say once, I say a thousand times when it comes to analytics, I talk about this. There are a bunch of ways to win. Analytics is one. Yesterday, you saw the Celtics with coaching make a play to go to your point about execution, get a rebound, go against conventional wisdom, go against analytics, and put Brooklyn in a backpedal fire drill situation, and the Celtics were able to score. There are multiple ways to win. That was one of them. It's a great game yesterday. Great finish for the Celtics. Meanwhile, Matt's droning on about some route that the Sixers had in the opener, where if they lose tonight, they lose control of the series. All right. The key is to, in the playoffs, when you're in the Sixers spot, it's like tennis. Hold, serve. Must hold, serve. And then they'll go up to Toronto, and they'll have nobody left to play, and then we'll see how it goes.
It'll just be Thibel.
So you think?
Right, as far as I know, unless something else comes up that we didn't know about.
Oh, no, I mean, the Red Sox are going to Toronto next week.
Yeah.
They've got several guys.
They have four guys that are ineligible.
They got several guys that are up. Hey. It's the way it is. You move on. Do the best you can with it. That's what, you know. That's that's one country's way of dealing with it. But you gotta go out and just make it work. So I'm looking at ESPN. Okay, and everything is always about, there's so much about what the individual does all the time. So I'll give you an example. Your guy, Cortez?
Nasty Nestor, yeah. Wasted yesterday because of the underperforming offense once
throws
again.
Throws an immaculate inning. Great, great moment. 9 pitches, 3 strikeouts. Awesome. And guess what? The Yankees lost. I think the Orioles have beaten them, what, 8 of the last 11? Yeah, that's really very impressive. One team spends $500 billion on the payroll, the other $1.95.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it's embarrassing. It was an embarrassing weekend for the Yankees.
But, see, this is what gets me, though, is there's so much put on individual. Cortez has immaculate inning pitch. Right? And over and over again, like, that's what all these headlines are about. And more often than not, in a lot of these headlines, the team lost. Is that where we are now? Like, hey, this is really great. Look what he did. Lost. No offense. I'm into who wins the game. By the way, you should be happy. The Red Sox lost today on...
Yes, I am happy about that.
Yeah. Split with the Twins. Another great Patriots day up in Boston. So, yeah, they lost. They're 5-5. And speaking of the Jays, by the way, Buck Martinez, cancer. It's going to be out for a while. Multiple unvaccinated Red Sox. See, I know Tanner Houck's won. Kevin Plawicki, two staff members tested positive. There you go. A's had to place Austin Allen, A.J. Puck, and Kirby Snead on the restricted list for Toronto over the weekend. So they had unvaccinated players. I'm trying to think who else is. Somebody else that they brought up. It's not Boston. It was somebody else that they had to bring it up about who's not vaccinated. And we'll find out in a month about the Yankees, too, because they've got to go up there. Man, I guess we have to assume all the Blue Jays are, right?
Yeah, or else they would have been playing.
Right. So I have to assume the Blue Jays are a 100% compliance team. I guess we have to make that assumption. But wow, interesting. All right, we'll take a break. I know we got Tom Hanifin on the show today. We've got Rich Scarcella on the show today. And the last half hour, believe it or not, Dave Jones wrote. Dave wrote a terrific article. It had nothing to do with Penn State, zero. But he wrote an article about where are we in sports right now, and it wasn't it was all pro. It was all professional. It had nothing to do with the college game. But I think it's worth talking about. Because it also ties in with the headlines that I discussed here. And we'll do that in the final half hour. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Everywhere I went today in town, you know, everybody was talking about the Sixers. No. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
In an ever-changing world, one thing you can always count on is the service at Purdy Insurance. Hi, this is Season. While the world is constantly changing, Purdy Insurance is dedicated to providing you with the highest level of service to protect you, your family, and your business. Give us a call today at 570-286-5855. Go to our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. Purdy Insurance will do everything they can to save you money while making sure you're completely covered and always updating. They are the pros, the best in the business when it comes to insurance. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. I know the other one I was thinking of was the Hunter Green kid from Cincinnati. He threw 39 pitches of better than 100 miles per hour. And that was a big headline on ESPN. And the Reds lost that game. Okay. That's nice. But they didn't win. I mean, they act as if Cortez or Hunter Green over the next 5 years, if either one of them throws a total, in fact, maybe even combined, a total of 10 complete games. See what I'm saying? This is not Bob Gibson throwing 39 pitches over 100 where you sit back and go, wow. And he gets 22 complete games a year. You sit back and go, oh, man, he is going to be brutal, whatever. If they're going to pitch him five innings, that's fine. That's nice. Again, the individual, 100, he threw 39 pitches. Cortez had an immaculate inning. Both teams lost. That's nice what they did. That's great. But that's nice. It's didn't win the game. Oh, well. It's like take a guy like Vladimir Guerrero. He had three home runs in a game. I think Toronto won, right?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Deep down, you hate me, don't you? Even though religiously you're not supposed to.
I mean, you're a stinking Red Sox fan, but I like you.
I didn't say... Hey, see, the difference is when the Red Sox aren't playing well, I tell you right now, the Red Sox aren't playing well.
You do, yes.
Right? And did I rip the fan base the other day for being too Yankee-obsessed?
Yes.
Yep.
But you're a tolerable Red Sox fan, so that we're all good there.
Yeah, because for the most part, I know what I'm talking about. All right, so I have the ability to look at your teams and go, no, not that good. And you hate that. All right, let's bring in Tom Hannafin to talk a little Penn State football here on this snowy, and it is coming down. I mean, you should see, Matt, what's it like there?
Same here. It is coming down once again.
I mean, it's been coming down here since noon. Let's get to Tommy. Welcome. Great to have you with us.
I'm great. You know, every time you and I seem to speak, you look out your window and you see snow. And I never have to encounter that because I happen to be outside the valley. And I feel bad for you, Steve. Like, you need a vacation to someplace tropical.
I'll tell you a quick story about that. 4 years ago, Penn State's going to play basketball at a tournament in Cancun, Mexico. Okay, great. So I am before the quarterback club, and I was explaining to the quarterback club, hey, everybody, just so you know, Brian Tripp's going to be here next week. I hope you all have a great Thanksgiving. I have to do a basketball tournament. And then somebody raised their hand, where's the tournament? They said Cancun, Mexico. And everybody in the room went, oh. I go, oh, what? I said, you want to know what? I said, my holiday tournaments over the years have been. I've done 3 in Milwaukee, 1 in Hartford, 2 in Brooklyn, 1 in Casper, Wyoming. I said, no offense, I earned my trip to Cancun.
And then some. I can see you at Senor Frog's, but like, you know, I think you could enjoy yourself a little bit.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. We had a, they split, had a good time though. It was a great place to go to. All right, so it will be beautiful when the week is done, which is great. When you get 50 to 70,000 people for a blue-white game, does that tell you anything about the passion for Penn State football?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I've known this since I was a little kid, and my family has been entrenched in Penn State football. My mom's class of 78, my brother's class of 09, I'm class of 2011. So I grew up getting used to, 50 to 70,000 are going to show up for a glorified scrimmage. And it's so much fun. I remember the times as a student getting to go to the games and really trying to glean something for the next season. Of course, enjoying the libations in the IM field, you know, that's always a good time, especially when the sun comes out for the first time in 6 months. So I hope it's really nice on Saturday, but it's just such a diehard, passionate fan base. And this is just a nice opportunity to spark some hope and positivity, I hope, for the 2022 season.
So what should they be looking for on Saturday?
So here's the thing, Steve, and you probably have learned more because you're boots on the ground there, but everything that James Franklin has said about the lack of depth and availability along the offensive line, and he's still working on the format, supposedly, for the blue-white game. Part of me is thinking we're going to see a glorified 7-on-7 drill, because if you don't have depth at the offensive line, then you can't necessarily tell your defensive lineman to tee off on those, 9 guys under scholarship right now. You might have 11 in a couple of weeks. So it's just not worth it to send these guys out there and potentially get them hurt. So I think the thing you got to look for here is just who is jumping out maybe in the secondary, who at quarterback is making good decisions with, you know, a limited playbook, obviously. But this is going to be kind of difficult, I think, for Penn State fans to really sit there and dissect what is happening on the field. If anything, it's just going to be an opportunity to enjoy ourselves and really get out there and see what the team is shaping up to be and the potential. But I think there's going to be some handcuffs because of the issues with the offensive line.
Yeah, well, they scrimmage Friday night. And if it's close to that, they're going to see a lot more football than you think.
Good.
You know, so we'll see what format he wants to go with. But based on Friday night, which might be a little different than Saturday, they did a lot of football on Friday. Everybody always wants to talk about the young quarterbacks. I get it. It's the new shiny toys that nobody has seen yet. Okay. And it's going to be the first time for everybody to unwrap the toy on blue-white morning. What, if anything, are you expecting this year? What would you be looking for from the two quarterbacks just in terms of how they go about it?
Frankly, I expect to see 4 quarterbacks play. I think, Sean Clifford, from all reports, you know, speaking to Nate Bauer, Blue White Illustrated, Mike Poorman from StateCollege.com, is that Sean Clifford's the guy. And I don't think anybody's really going to catch him this year. I think there's plenty of Penn State fans that were hoping to see Drew Allar or even Christian Mayu really catch him. Bo Perbula is probably the underdog in that position, but has been spoken of glowingly from the likes of Chuck Losey, Mike Yurcich, James Franklin in terms of his readiness walking on campus. So personally, I hope to see a substantial amount of Mayu, Perbula, and Allar, just because I don't think Sean Clifford really needs to go out there and do too much. If he plays, you know, a handful of drives, I'll personally be satisfied. He doesn't really need to prove anything to us. And then it's opportunities for Vayu, Perbula, and Allar to go out there and show, like I said, good decision-making and try and make some plays out there with what I expect to be some young people at the, you know, playmaking positions like wide receiver and running back. So that's really what I'm hoping for. I don't know if anybody's necessarily going to see, for instance, Drew Allar, who a lot of people have their hopes on. show up at the Blue White game and look like, you know, like a Trevor Lawrence type five-star quarterback or something. I think people hope for that, but it's just a matter of tempering expectations. So I hope to see a lot of those other three as opposed to Clifford.
What do you think about other players you're interested in seeing?
I'm really interested to see a little bit of Nick Singleton. Not a ton, but a lot of good praise for him and Catron Allen for that matter. I'm really excited to see what they can do because it's just been a short amount of time that they've been on campus. But Mike Yurcich has been quoting is that these guys can play every down. These are not guys that you have to put in there and maybe wait for them to develop into certain situations. They can only run X, Y, and Z. And that's going to put pressure on Kevon Lee. Now, again, to the offensive line situation, you're not trying to get those guys hurt. You might not see a full-bore running attack and the offensive line, defensive line really clashing. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I'm really excited to see who's stepping up at linebacker. We know about Curtis Jacobs. We know that Jonathan Sutherland has made the switch. Is Tyler Elsden the guy at the Mike linebacker position that we've been hearing? King as well, as some of Kobe King has been jumping in there as a name people are keeping an eye on. So there's just a lot of competition, I think, even more so on the defensive side of the ball. Are those battles going to be won in the Blue-White game? No, but I think people are looking for a glimpse of those positions being solidified.
How much fun has it been for you to get back into the realm of talking about Penn State football?
Oh, my God, Steve. I mean, every week, myself and Matt McGloin do the Patriot podcast through the Believe Network, and it's just been so much fun. This is something, as I mentioned, you know, I remember going to Beaver Stadium, watching Penn State play an Indiana team quarterback by Antoine Randall L. Yeah. And LeVar Arrington's on defense. Mm-hmm. And I just having the time of my life, and getting to do this show has been so much fun, and being able to reconnect with you know, old classmates like Thomas Frank Carr, Blue White Illustrated, the list goes on and on. But even getting to interview some people that, you know, I can sit here and say were heroes of mine growing up. Paul Posluszny jumps to mind, somebody we've had on the show. Allen Robinson, you know, we got a lot of great ex-players from Penn State. So it's been so nice, and it's also given me a glimpse into how the Penn State fan base works. And that this is a fan base that wants to know about what's happening right now, and are we taking steps towards being the Penn State program that I think everybody expects us to be in 2022. Whether that's the case, that remains to be seen.
Yeah. What do they need to do to get back to that in your mind?
I think they are doing those things. You know, you and I have talked about it before when I popped on with you, is that this contract extension for James Franklin, in a way, was also a stimulus package for the football program. There's renovations going on at the Lash building and Hoover Hall as we speak, which is fantastic. Those are the things that Franklin talks about, quote, competing 365 days a year. Great. We've seen a lot of big headlines in regards to the recruiting trail. That was a great class that's coming in here in 2022, 23, and 24. Also look good. Great. You got to wait and see what those are when they get in the door. However, a football team that's been 500 on the nose the last two seasons is extraordinarily disappointing for the bulk of the fan base. So the question is, when is that going to get rectified? So I don't know. I think I want to be optimistic. I think there's a lot of reasons for optimism. On the offensive line, I am excited to see what changes they make. I talked about Singleton and Allen. I think those guys are going to jump in and make some strides. And then I think it's kind of a broken record of saying this, but the season hinges on Sean Clifford. Mm-hmm. His health, his maturation, if it goes up, Penn State goes with it. We'll see what happens.
Have Matt and you delved into the draft at all?
A little bit. You know, we, as I mentioned, like, we've kind of learned that the Penn State audience, you know, they're very concerned about what's happening with the team now. So when we've talked about Penn Staters going to the NFL draft, we did a piece leading up to the Senior Bowl about that on Pater. And, you know, he and I just fell in love with a guy like Jaquan Brisker, mm-hmm. who can do just everything. And listen, that's no great revelation. But, I mean, in this day and age in the National Football League, to have a safety who can literally do everything, you know, that a defensive coordinator might ask him to do. There aren't many of those guys. The kid Hamilton from Notre Dame is another one that jumps to mind, but I think Brisker is in lockstep with him in a lot of ways. So I'm really excited to see what he does. And then Arnold Ebiketie's stock has risen dramatically since the season. I think we all saw how good he could be, but I saw a statistic recently that said on third and four, his win rate was 31%, and that was far beyond a lot of defensive ends that are potentially being projected to go in the first round, like Karlaftis from Purdue and Hutchinson from Michigan. So, I mean, there was a lot of talent on this team that's heading to the National Football League, and hopefully does right by Penn State.
Tom, so great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for the time today.
Thank you very much, Steve. Stay warm and enjoy the game on Saturday.
We will. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Matt McGloin on tomorrow. Also coming up tomorrow, we will have Neil Kulong. Matt has a griping session coming up also tomorrow at some point.
Hopefully not. Right. Hopefully it'll be at another Sixers win. Then we don't have to gripe.
I think they'll lose by 5 or 6 tonight.
If they don't, then we got some issues. If they do, some issues is what I'm saying.
Your guy, by the way, is one of the three finalists for the MVP.
Yeah, as he should be. But where is Tyrese Maxey for most improved player? That's what I'd like to know.
I didn't see who the...
John Morant's one of them, and he should be a candidate. But the other two, I didn't get... Let's see here. It was Darius Garland from Cleveland and DeJounte Murray from San Antonio for most improved player.
Wow. Trying to see if I can just conjure up any level of caring here. Oh, no. I need to care more.
No good! No good! No good!
I hate the show. That's your guy.
You got more to give, Steve Jones.
I'm giving every day, John Hara. We'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Well, I'm sure glad the blue white game's not today.
This would be just the worst.
I mean, they're practicing today, but I can assure you that the only area of the practice that will occur outdoors will be the walk from the weight room over to the Haluba Hall. Element they'll be outside. It's April 18th. It looks like January out there. It's interesting. I said to my wife, I said, you know, if this were like by Christmas Eve or January, like, yeah, okay, whatever. Gee, you're really hoping for a little more heat about now.
Yeah, this is unacceptable.
A little warmth out there.
We had all those nice days, 60, 70 degrees toward the end of last week, and then Easter morning, it turns cold. It even snowed here on Easter morning. Literally, my family and I come out of Mass, and it's a snow squall. And then today, it's not acceptable, Mother Nature.
Yeah, there was a snow squall yesterday when I came out of Mass as well. I'm like, oh, geez, really?
Well, now I'm checking the forecast for State College for Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be 67 and decent. It's going to be good.
Yeah. They said possibly a shower or two early in the day, but partly cloudy in the afternoon. So I think we should be all right. 30% chance of rain.
More than fine. It'll be good. I think we could see between 50 and 70,000 people here, which will be great.
Absolutely.
The Sixers play Toronto tonight on TNT at 7:30. NBA TV tonight, Utah at Dallas. Nuggets and Warriors on TNT.
Deebo Samuel will not show up at offseason workouts. A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin, they're all seeking new contracts. They will not participate in any on-field work during their respective offseason programs. No offense, there are 1,000 wide receivers out there. I look at all three of them and go, yep, have a good one. We can find other people. We're good. I mean, there's a lot of them out there. You're going to be a lot drafted, too.